happening.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're still talking about pressing toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. We weren't here last week, but our studies, I think I gave some scriptures out where we're going to be studying from. But this, we talked last week about our last lesson was on straining toward what was ahead and spiritual violence. We talked about pressing onward in spite of what's going on in your life. We talked about Noah's day, but tonight we're going to talk about King David. David's character, you always tell me when I minister, I use David because David is one of my favorite Bible characters. His reality is that he's human, so we are. We make mistakes, and David made mistakes too. But in the essence of his falling from time to time, he kept his focus on God, and his focus or his desire was to do what was right, and whatever he was caught in or whatever happened, he always repented. He always laid out before God and asked God for direction. And his first charge was when he said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right mind and the right spirit on the inside, because you know me better than I know myself." God already knows, you know, that we make mistakes. He knows that we mess up. But his desire is for us to press. That's why Paul was saying, we press toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and 4, 12 to 14, although we're going through many different scriptures, but I just want to reiterate this when he said, not as though I had already attained, meaning that I'm not acting like I already got this. You know, that some people, because they've been saved a long time or whatever the case may be, or they've been to theological school, they got this. But you don't got this. And the Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained, but either were already perfect, but follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I mean, I'm not there yet. I'm still searching. I'm still seeking the Lord. But this one thing I will do, no matter what's going on, I will be forgetting those things that were behind me and reaching or pressing forth to the house or to those things that are before me, the high call in Christ Jesus. So I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So no matter what, of course I have a history, is what the Apostle Paul has said. We already know his history, and we all have history. But history is just that. That's our story. That's her story and his story. From behind, that's our witness. We don't do that no more. So he said, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting what I used to be. When people say, well, you used to, that's an awesome testimony. They don't realize how they testified to your character because they're saying you used to. If they could be saying you still doing it. Hello? But they said, well, you used to be and you used to that. Well, good. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad because they're testifying to yesterday. Forgetting those things which are behind me. And pressing to, and the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure we know that the Lord knows that a pressing can be hard, especially with some of the things that we go through in life. But King David was one of the most important people in the Bible, and I just love his story. And when Jesus said David was a man after God's own heart, we're gonna discuss that, and we're gonna find out what he meant in clarity. But there's sometimes situations happen when people say, press on, stand. You know, you got to stand in the house, stand on the word. But there are sometimes when you get in a bad place in your life that you feel like, you know, it's hard to stand. You don't understand what I'm going through. And so tonight we're going to talk about how we find peace in a bad situation. Things happen. They do happen. And they said we wouldn't go through something. Remember 4:3 Isaiah told Israel, when you go through the flood, when you go through the fire, it means you're going to go through some changes and some circumstances. But he said, I'll be there. And God said, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? So whatever we're going through, the Lord is with us. We have to come to the reality that we're not on this battle alone. And see, when we mess up as saints, instead of turning to the Father, we turn to Sally, Bobby, Billy, Bobo, and Cuckoo and everybody else, but the Lord. We forget about Jesus and we forget about God. We have a great expectation. We're like Thomas. If we don't touch it, it's not real. If we can't see with our eyes, it's not real. But that's not what the Bible says. If you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, like you're saying, you're following out the righteousness, You don't look for what you're going to touch, taste. It's tangible. It's not. You can't smell it. It's not touchable. It's not. It's invisible. And so he said, blessed are they believe that believe and have not seen. That's why the Bible said that God is a spirit, and he that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, you got to believe what the word of God says. You just got to believe. I don't care what my circumstance or my situation is. Otherwise, what's the point if you can't believe? And I often say it's hard to believe something that you don't know about. It's hard to believe in something you don't know. And the only way you don't get to know God is in his word. You can pray from sun up to sundown, and that's your fellowship, and that's awesome, that's sweet. But if you want to know God, you have to study his word. You have to know him in his word. You have to take your time, not just read. Like some people say, well, I read 5 chapters of St. John. Well, what did you read? What was he talking about? What was the writer talking about? I don't know. I'm just reading through the Bible. But see, that's defeatist. In other words, you're defeating your purpose. Your purpose is to learn the word of God so that you can apply it to your daily life. That's what the Bible is for. It's a roadmap. It teaches us how to have a relationship with God and each other. It teaches us how to have peace in the storm. You're going to have some storms in your life. You know, life without storms is not reality. Sorry. Even the wealthy people in the world, they got storms. Guess what? They can't even sleep for counting their money. And they don't trust nobody, and they're trying to get more money, and they're scheming and conniving. They're always around the round table. They're getting headaches and stroking out trying to get more money. They have problems, yeah. And they're losing their mind. Their families lose their mind because they're killing them over money. Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you love money, you will do every conniving, the evil thing you can to get it. And that's exactly what they do, some of them. So how do you get peace in a bad situation? Let's dissect this now. You may be in the fight of your life, in your finances, and you may be just about to lose your home or be evicted from your place of where you live. It may be that you've been diagnosed with some form of deadly cancer. Now, this is the battle of your life. Or it may be that your marriage is falling apart. Or maybe you're not married and your children are in an uproar. You may have lost your job or you're reaching a dead end in your search for a job. You're looking, and you keep beating a dead wall. You just fill in the blank. Whatever your situation is, whatever your case is, this may be your bad situation. So how do you find peace in it? And it's not easy. So how many can attest to that? I can surely attest to it. And so most times we're either headed into a crisis, in the middle of a crisis, or coming out of a crisis. Now, I like the coming out. How about you? I don't like the going in, and I don't like being in the midst, although you got to go in it to get in it to come out of it. But I love the coming out part. That's the best part, right? So coming out is the best because when you come out, you can almost now see clearly what God is saying. The thing is, when you're going through into bad situations, if God allows you to get to that point, then he's speaking to you. He's saying something to you. And we have to learn, as Bishop Butler said, we have to learn to develop an ear to hear God. And he ain't talking about the natural ear. He's talking about a spiritual perception. The Bible said we have to be able to perceive the things of God. In your gut, like if you want to say that, in my gut, I feel in my spirit, in my gut, that the Lord is saying this, the Lord is saying that. Because, and the only way you can get a gut feeling with God, you got to have a relationship with him. And your relationship comes by studying the word of God. When you study God's word, and I mean study, don't just read through it, thumb through the pages. When you begin to go book by book and study it and dissect the thing, then you begin to learn the personality of the God that you serve. You begin to learn who he is and what he's about. Someone once said to me when they were going through, I don't believe the God I serve that would allow bad things to happen to people, and was going on and on. I said, well, first of all, what God are you serving? Because if you can talk like that, then you don't know God. You need to learn of him. We have our own perception. The Bible says they have a deal of God, but not according to knowledge. You can't get knowledge of God outside of the Bible. I'm sorry, I can preach to you till the cows come home, and you can pray and stay, but if you don't read the word of God, to find out about God, who he is, the things that he's done, the exploits, even the mind of him. When Israel did and Judah did wrong, and the enemy, when he came up against the people of God, the mindset of God, the things that he did, tell you why he, and he'll tell you in the word, will tell you why he did such things and allowed such things to happen. So when you go through your trials and your tribulation, you know the mindset of God. You can't blame Sally Sue for something that you brought on yourself. Hello? Because you know the mindset of God. He said, the Lord is speaking to me. Amen? Now, this is what I gave me that theme for the Fifth Sunday Union, don't mind. The Lord is speaking. Are you listening? We hear, but we don't listen. My grandson always say to his granddad, listen, granddad. And he said, I'm listening. No, listen with your ears. In other words, I'm talking to you, but you don't understand what I'm saying, is what he's saying. So I'm saying to you tonight, is, you know, the Lord is saying, listen with your ears, and not ears, but understand what the word or what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches today. So it's really hard to get peace if you're headed in the crisis or if you're in the middle of a crisis, but God will guide you through it every time. That's what we have to let. We have to let him guide us. Because when God guides us, he ain't going to take us the way we want to go. We got our own direction. We want to go in. We want to ride around by way of A1A around 17th Street, you know, bypassing the 95. But God, they want you to go 595 all the way. Whatever direction he gives us, and I'm paraphrasing here, but whatever direction he gives us, we have to follow him. That's why the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As long as you follow God's steps, that makes you a good man because you're going to obey the will of God. So Philippians 4:4-9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, and this is international reading. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, then he says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, verse 8, whatsoever things are noble, yours read a little different. Whatsoever things are right, it's the same thing. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, these are the things that you're to think on. Stop thinking about your problems and your situations, but think on the good things. Hello? So he said, these are the things that you think on. In verse 9, he said, whatever you have learned or received or heard of me, he's setting an example, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you see me, I'm in prison, but I'm still preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. I'm still standing on the word of God. You see me living this life? Follow me, and God of peace, the God of peace will be with you. If we follow the righteous way, God will be with us in the turmoil. He will be with us in whatever the service come our way. He'll bring us out of it. But you're going to learn something in it. Hello? You have to learn something in it. There's a lesson to be learned. The first thing you have to do is focus on God instead of your situation. And now that is key. And some situations that we get in is kind of hard because some things are devastating. You have to keep your focus on God. Amen? If we worry about our situation, it's going to take us down every time. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's what Paul means when he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. He ain't talking about, you know, we having half a party. Oh, I'm so glad I'm going through. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying, even though you know you're going through, still give God praise. Still come to church. Still read your Bible. Still pray every day. Still seek the Lord with your heart, mind, and soul. Still help other people. Be there for other people. Sometimes we get so caught up into our own situations and our own problems, and people need us, and we can't help them because I'm going through too. Well, if you help me through my situation, God himself is already working yours out. But we don't do that. We're so selfish and self-centered. And this is what the Apostle Paul, when he meant, when he said, you know, you got to understand that you're going to have to have some joy in this thing and not, you know, like I said, have, oh, thank you for the trial. So, a joy that you're rejoicing in the Lord, and nobody knows that you're going to, nobody knows your situation. It's, oh, you know what? Oh, God, this is Leon is always rejoicing. You may be in a devastation so bad that, oh, my God, if you think about it, you might just pass out. It's so horrific. But because of the Lord, you know your folks, you already put it before God. You already prayed. You already told God about it. Now start rejoicing in it, all right? He's not saying that we're to be happy because we're going through it. He's not even saying that we should be rejoicing because we're going through difficulties. What he's saying is rejoicing in the Lord at the area of praise. That's totally different from the mindset. Don't set your mind up, oh, Lord, I thank you for my trial. No, you don't. You're lying. You do not thank God. You ain't glad to be in no trial. So don't make that. We like to pretend, you know, be so pious and so deep, you know. Well, I bless God for my trial. No, you don't. But praise him anyway. I thank him because he's good. I thank him because he's my heavenly Father. I give him praise and honor that in the midst of this, I know the Lord is with me. I'm not happy to be going through this thing, and I'm not rejoicing. But in the midst of it, I'm rejoicing because I know that he's with me. Are you with me tonight? Biblical joy is the knowledge that God is in control of your circumstances, and he allows only what is good for you to happen in your life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Maybe a bad thing, maybe a devastating thing, but if you love the Lord, you serve the Lord, God turn that bad thing around and work it for your good. There's something good in it for you. Remember Joseph when his brothers sold him, threw him in a ditch, then sold him, and then they took him into Egypt and put him in, and he went in bondage. And all after all of this, God raised him up and made him a governor over the land so that he can feed his family. God allowed him to go into the ditch because there was something in him that needed to be developed. Yeah. Hello? He needs to learn compassion. He needs to learn how to care and not to be haughty and high minded. You know, God using me. You know, I'm going to be, the Lord, so use me. You know, this is my anointing. You know, how folks get carried away when God starts using them. That's nothing to do with them. It's all about God. But sometimes God has to break our spirit in some areas. And Joseph needed to go through some things because he needs to learn whatever the lesson is that God was teaching him, but he also needed to be there for his family. And then God raised him up. The family, the brothers that tried to kill him, he had to save their lives. Hello? So he works everything, and he'll turn it around for our good. Why? Because he loves us. Because we are his children. Hello? It's for a purpose. If he allows you to go through it, he's going to bring you through it. If he allows it to come to you, he's going to deliver you. That's what God does. But he's going to do it in his own time. Don't think he's just going to go, oh, Lord, okay, I learned my lesson. you can just pull me out right now. I'm good. Ain't going to happen. God already knows when the time you come out. Because if you come out too early, can you know how a cake is? How many know how you bring a cake out of the oven too early? What does it do? It falls. It sinks in the middle. Hello? Friends, exactly what's going to happen to you. God bring you out of the oven too soon, you're going to fall. Hello? Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? So he wants those things all for our good. That's why James says to consider it joy when a trial comes your way. In James 1 and 2, he says, consider it your joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It is not that the trials bring joy. Clearly understanding. You ain't going to be running around and clapping your hands and, you know, and skipping because you are so glad I'm in the fire. You're not going to be doing that. The trials don't bring you joy. It is what God is doing in that trial. It's because he's cooking you. He's preparing you. He's making you in that trial. He's burning some stuff up in you that needs to be cleaned out. He's making you new. And if you're in a situation long enough, after a while, you'll wake up and say, you know what? Lord, what is it? It's me, Lord. Huh? You in there long enough. You done tried everybody and everything. Nobody can help you. And those that can, won't. God closed those doors because he wants you to say, Lord, here I am. Now, when you do that, and some people will go through year after year after year after year until they finally go, oh, I think God is trying to tell me something. After they got beat down, drug through the mud, but that's how long that trial took for them to finally get it in their head. Because we know that we consider what we consider the trial joy, we rest in the Lord. In essence, we worship him. If we consider it joy, we worship him. But don't sit there and look sad. Come to church and look sad. Now, everybody know you're going through something. So-and-so going through, yeah. You come in with joy. Nobody has to know your situation. And this is your witness to who God is. This is your faith. That's how you build up your faith. You sometimes you have to praise your way out of a situation, shout your way out of it. Your faith will elevate. The more you glorify God and study his word and praise him, don't get somewhere in a corner and moan. If you're going to cry, get through with it and praise. Be done with it. Wipe your face, blow your nose, and start glorifying God. It's over. But if you cry blood, it ain't going to change your situation. But God will. All he wants us to do is trust him, right? So we worship him through this situation. We worship him when we're going through our trials. And that's what Job did. When he lost all his possessions, when he lost his family, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job, amen? Job 1 and 21, it says, and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord taken away. May the Lord's name be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God gave it to me and took it back. What am I going to say? I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the Lord. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So he was able to say that. But that's only the beginning. We can't stop there. Because guess what? Satan and your flesh, this part of you, have a way of coming back to bite you in the butt. So you think you got it all together and everything cool, you know, I'm giving God glory. And all of a sudden you walk out the door. Sometimes in the midst of your prayer, you may be slapped upside the head. Fire! With another one. You ever been from one child and you think you almost got out of another trial coming? You think you're about out in another one coming? And you just go from one to the other. You about to say, oh, somebody's killing now. Because you just keep going from one situation to the other. And y'all young folks, y'all ain't got that yet. But hang in there. So you just keep going and going. But you have to keep holding on just like Job did. The Lord giveth us, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So he's there. He's going to come and bite you. But from our focus on God, we have to literally engage in serving other people. I found that if you busy yourself doing work in the church when you're going through, or busy yourself helping in some outreach or something, or your neighbor even, or a relative, an old relative, go cut their yard or something. Come back and cut the bishop's yard. Never know if you need a yard, somebody to do it for us. Or, you know, something. Do something with yourself other than sitting around feeling sorry for yourself when you start to serve others. And this is what he meant. And Paul says, let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known. Let you help somebody else out. We know you're going through it. God knows. If I don't know, God knows. And he's going to bring you out. But your love and your patience and your kindness and your gentleness to other people, your service to other people, your service to the house of the Lord, working in the house of God, he's going to bring you out like pure gold. When he's bringing you out, oh, my God, the magnificence of it be about you. And as you rejoice in God, that should move you to then to focus on other people. While you're rejoicing, you ain't thinking about your problem. You ain't thinking about what you're going through. And you let all of a sudden the Lord speak to you because now you're in tune with him now. He can talk to you now. You can hear it because you ain't moaning and groaning. You know, okay, Miss Sally behind three seats behind you. She could use some assistance. You know, why don't you stop by our house Thursday? You don't even know. All of a sudden Thursday you look at Miss Sally's house of Mr. Brown over there. In three rows over, need $5, need $10. You can go and put $10 in his hand. God starts speaking to you. Now he can use you. This is how he uses us, amen, because we have concern for others. So as you rejoice in God, that should move you to focus on other people. Paul says, the Lord is at hand and is near you, and he will help you. Whatever it is you purpose in your heart to do, to be constructed in the house of God, to be constructed to people of God, to help and assist in your neighborhood or whatever, anybody, your neighbor, your family, God will be with you. The Lord is at hand. when you show gentleness and kindness to other people, all men, gentleness to all men, everybody, when you show that kindness to others. So it's not just that God wants you to serve others in the midst of your trouble. It's that he knows what our weaknesses is. God knows where we fall short at. And so our tendency will be to focus on ourselves, and he don't want us to focus on what we're going through. So whatever it takes to keep us from always sitting down, feeling sorry for ourselves, having a pity party, whatever it takes to get you away from that, that's what he'll do. Okay, get up and go do something. Go to the church, sweep the church, clean up the church, call the pastor, call the bishop. Is there something you want me to do? I'm pretty good on the computer. You need something typed up. Do something. Miss Bethany, so you want me to cut your yard? You want, can I sweep up your room? Can I clean up your house for you? Do you want, do you want me to take you to the store? Can I go to the store for you? Do something for other people. Because we are so weak now. We sit out of the Bible and say, well, just in there read my Bible. And you so focused on the word, and all of a sudden your mind starts drifting. Yeah, you know, he said he was coming back Thursday. If you don't get his money, he's going to repossess your automobile. And you done read this one scripture three times. Because you're still focused on what you're going through. But when you get up and get out of there and start doing something, working, doing constructive stuff to help people or to do something in the house of God, your mind is too busy on that, so you don't have time to think about what you're doing. Because how many know when you start reading the scripture, everything breaks loose? Hello. You sit there and start reading, and the enemy starts talking in your head, you don't know what you're reading. And you know, Beth is Billy Bob, and I saw Susan talking about you, and you might have some collard greens up. Don't eat them collard greens up. Whatever. Anything to keep, get your focus off the word of God. But if we keep our focus on others and their problems, we'll be distracted, and we don't have time to go spiraling down. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. God raised you up to hear your praise and worship, and all of a sudden you sink back down and start thinking about your situation, and you start spiraling down. Now you're back in the corner having a pity party for yourself. And that's not what God wants from us. Amen? He wants us to be able to press our way through a trial. You got to learn how to have peace, even in the midst of a bad situation. Don't think, when people say, oh, you come on the Lord's side, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You don't really have nothing to worry about, but you're going to be going through hell. And why? Because you got to be made. If you came over here like Jesus, without spot or blemish, you wouldn't have to be made. But you have to be made. In other words, you got to shake some things off because we don't have the mind of God. We do not have the mind of Christ. Paul said we're supposed to have the same mind, but we don't. And so some of the things we go through is to help us change our mind, help us reprogram our mind, like he said to the Romans church. You got to be renewed in your mind. Your whole mind has to change. Your whole mindset has to change. Because the way you think and the way you were brought up, you can't bring it into the house of God. You can't bring it into the Lord and think it's going to be well with you. It won't. Why? I was raised like this. Okay, now God has re-raised you. Or he's trying to re-raise you. So forget that stuff. And Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind us, that goes with your raising too. Because if your upbringing was not according to the gospel of Christ, then you need to forget that. Because it ain't going to work on this side. Hello? Amen. So now that's well and good, but what happens when we're alone and when it's time to go to bed? We got to give our troubles to God for a prayer. Then we got to stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm giving it up to you in our prayer time. And I know it's hard. How many get down on your knees and pray and all kinds of stuff comes to you? And that's why I tell people, when you get down there, don't start talking to God right here. Start calling on the name of Jesus. Praise him first. Because you need to praise, break down barriers. The Bible says praise, destroy the yoke, right? When you sit on your knees or when you fall down in prayer, lay prostrate before God, there's some stuff that follows you down here. Like maybe you got mad with Saturday before you got down there, somebody cut you off coming over here and you about to cuss them out or something. I did cuss them out. And now you got to get on. You burnt your greens and you couldn't eat now. There's no food. And now you got to worry about what you're about to eat. And all this stuff on your mind. You just holler at your child and they bad. And, you know, you try to get them sell. It's just all kind of stuff. And now you're going to get down there and pray. Well, first of all, you got to be loose from that stuff. And how do you loose yourself from that stuff? Huh? Praise him. Shout his name. Praise him and praise him and praise him till you feel yourself loose from that. Then you can start talking to the Father. Because now your mind is not on that other stuff, it's on him. That's how you bring your mind in. When I say bring your mind in, when I say come to church, when we come in, and I tell y'all to bring your mind in, that's exactly what I'm saying. Stop praising him and glorifying him. And bring your mind into the house of God and keep it, and not on the outside. All that stuff that's on the outside, leave it out there. Because when you come in God's house, you need to focus on the Lord. Hello? So sometimes when we have hardships, we become all anxious and nervous and we get worried. The Apostle Paul said in verse 6, he said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't get all anxious and fearful and all upset, but just start giving them thanks and tell them what it is that you need and start giving them thanks. Be thankful for it. Because the Word of God says he's going to give you your heart's desire. He's going to give you your need. Hello? And some people mix their needs up with their wants. I'm going to pause there for station identification. Let you think about that a little bit. Because we do. We want a brand new car, but we just need transportation. Hello? And so the car dealership sending all kinds of stuff. You go down and get this car with no money down, and your credit is good, but you don't even have a job. Or a job you make can't pay for that car, but you got other bills too. We don't think about that. I got my income tax money, and I'm going to go pay down on me a car. Then take the income tax money and pay cash for that car and be done with it. But you don't make the kind of money that's going to make down payments every month. Hello? See? And so we want this, and then God said, no. You go in and your credit don't do nothing. I know I got good credit. He said, no. Well, I know that your job ain't enough. No, bring me more money. I don't have no money, more money down. And all of a sudden, you can't get it. Because God already knows that if you spend all your money on that new car, in 2 months' time, you're going to be back on the bus. Because while you're sleeping, it'll back the record up. Picking up your car and pulling it out of your driveway or from in front of your house. You already know that. So he knows what's best, so he said, I'll give you what you need. And Jesus said, if you take care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, why not tell you why won't he take care of us? So no matter, even in the midst of what you're going through, learn how to have joy or have praise in it. Praise and glorify God. Have that peace. We got to have a peace. Otherwise, you're going to be turned upside down. Philippians 1:6. So that is exactly what I used to do when I was praying. I used to pray and over the same thing because I was taught that, okay, you got to worry God. And sometimes that's why we need to continue studying the scriptures for ourselves because people teach what they've been taught. And I was taught you got to be worrying him and worrying him about the same thing just because the lady, when Jesus told the story about the lady that kept pressing on the king and he finally gave her what she wanted. He's not saying that. You ask God and then you praise him. You give him glory because Jesus said, if you believe it, you'll receive it. If you ask in my name. And not just saying, listen carefully, asking in the name of Jesus is not saying, well, you know, can I have that car in the name of Jesus? People do that in the name of Jesus. It means that you belong to God. That you are covered under the blood of Jesus. That you are born again Christian. That you are saved. Hello? And you're not living that other life no more. So when you come before God, you're coming in the name of Jesus. When you look on you, he sees the blood of Jesus. So anything you want now, he has made you a child of God because of his blood. So now when you ask God anything, you can receive it. Hello? And you study the word of God. Once you get the word of God on the inside, you ain't going to ask God for nothing ridiculous anyway. And don't ask him for something you can get for yourself or do for yourself. Because you may not like how he bring it to you. Hello? People say, well, I'm going to ask the Lord to teach me patience. You better take that back out of that, snatch it out of the atmosphere before you get there. You better grab that and take it because God don't teach lessons like we do. And when those trials start coming, and you say, I ask the Lord to teach me patience, just be patient. It's not coming. They're going to come until you learn patience. And you may not learn patience as easily as some people do. So be patient. Just wait. Hello? When you're at the bus stop and you're waiting for the bus and you got there a little early and the bus is on time and you know you got to be a certain place on a certain time, do you get up and start walking to that place? Or you waiting for the bus? If you can patiently wait on the budget, you can patiently wait on God. Hello? We wait for everything else, but we don't want to wait for God. We want him to do it right now. Now, Lord, I got on my knees. And the Lord done spoke. No, he did. Because you first ain't even break through, number one. Because when you got down there, you already had your mind made up. I'm going to ask the Lord. And in your heart, he said, as soon as I get to praying, I'm going to call someone and so it come and bring it on over. But you're asking God. And when God is, he can't speak to you because your mind is already made up. So, you know, he's like, okay. Yeah, then when you get it and you can't keep it, Lord, help me keep it. Lord, geez, now you're praying all the time. And the Lord said, but I never gave it to you. You got to work this one out, sister. You got that one on your own, brother. You made that mistake. Then we want to blame God. Well, I don't know what let this happen. No, he didn't. You pressed your way to it. And that's why we have to get an understanding of who God is. He's nothing to be played with. Amen? He loves us so much. He's blessing us. The people of God don't understand how much God wants to bless us and wants to give to us. But we have to be in the same frame of mind to receive the things of God. We have to be children of God. Remember Jesus told the lady about giving the children's bread to dogs? And literally, the dogs were what non-Jews were called back in those days. That was their Hebrew term for people that were not Jewish. Dogs. And so she said, well, you know, the dog would receive the crumbs from his master's table. And he could do nothing but bless her because she was right. He's standing there, a dog waiting around the table. I'm a dog around my table when I eat, but some people have their dogs in the house and they eat and the crumbs fall, they get the crumbs of all of them. And they eat them. All she knew the power of God. She said, I can just get a little crumb and I'm good. Unsaved people trust your God like that, but we just saved people. We said we're children of God and we don't trust them like that. Any little thing that comes our way, we get scared and now we want to run a turntable. But I said, Jesus said, you know what, I just get a little piece of your God. Just a little piece. Hello. So that is exactly what I used to do when I was praying, but I learned better. When you pray, verse 7, Matthew 6, verse 7 says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Don't keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Just babbling, just saying something. Some people think if you pray a long time, you're not praying. If you pray a quick prayer, Lord, I just thank you for this day. Amen. They say you ain't praying. You got to grieve them down. You got to pray. You got to be foaming at the mouth and spitting and shaking and, you know, and just calling down fire from heaven and you done prayed. If you don't do that, people think you have not prayed. A simple prayer. You can pray as long as you want. Praise as long as you want. But don't think that that's the prayer that you need to pray to get to God. You just need to be sincere in your heart. A few simple words. Glory to God. Hello? And be sincere and mean that from your heart. And that's why he says to pray. He means for us to tell him what's burdening our hearts and to give him our problems and situations so that he himself can give us rest from it. Don't hoard it up and don't carry it around with us. He gives us permission to bring it to him. He even commands us, hello, to stop thinking about it. Stop dealing with it. Bring it to the Lord. Bring your problems to him. Leave it there. If you want to have peace in the midst of trouble, in the midst of your situations, bad situations, you're going to have to learn to loosen the God. People will pray or get prayer for a situation and then come back again to the same situation. People, learn how to trust God. It won't look like it changed when you get that prayer. It won't sound like it changed. It won't even feel like it changed. But when you begin to praise God, your faith will elevate to the point that you believe God and faith is what moves the hand of God. Because if you walk away from there saying, well, thank you for your prayers, and now you say, well, let me call him, and I got to go ahead on and take it, you know, and see what I can do for him. Then you're not operating in faith. You just give my word to go ahead on and don't even bother praying. Do whatever it is that you do and fix it. Go to the loan man or whatever it is that you do. Go to the check cashing place for that payday advance. And get hooked up in that thing, that cycle over and over and over. Our trust God. You're either going to trust him. And I preach that message, you're either going to trust him, or you might as well just walk away. Right. In your a bad situation, God is the only one that can give you peace. Amen? And so he's determined to give us peace. He gives us permission to bring our problems to him. And when we do that, he gives us peace. When we do that, he don't even have a problem putting us to sleep. We'll lay our head down. People say, well, I can't sleep, so I'll be worrying about it. Say, I'll be worried about food, and I'll be worried about this and that and the other. But then you give family the food to God. You know, yeah, but you know, I don't know where they're at, but you gave them to God. If you really gave them to God, lay your head down and go to sleep. Let that sleep come. Don't let nothing disturb your rest, and your body has to rest anyhow. And if you truly are, if you can't rest, then you need to repent. Repent because you really didn't give that thing to God. If you went, you gave it to God, you gave up on it, and you said, Lord, here, I'm giving it to you. It's in your hands now. I thank you because I know you're going to work it out. And then get up and get in your bed and go to sleep. And you feel sleep don't come because you can't stop thinking about it. Then you repent. Repent, ask God to forgive you, get back on your knees until you get it right. So you learn how to give it up because that's unbelief. And unbelief is sin. Hello? If you want to serve God, you got to believe it. Or you might as well do what? Walk away. Hello? Well, he said in verse 7, let me finish reading. He said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your father knows. Knows that we don't remember nothing else. Remember, your father knows. Put that right there across your forehead and your heart that my father knows. Sometimes you're hurting so bad, you may not be able to pray, but you can say, my father knows. Tell yourself that over and over until you get strength enough to walk away from a situation and let God handle it. My father knows. Hello. I'm not saying you say my father knows and stay there and get your head knocked off. No. You say my father knows and you walk away. Hello. You don't try to borrow. You don't beg. You don't steal. But you wait on God. Because what? My father knows. Hello. So the scripture says that he knows, amen. Your father knows what you need before. Somebody say, before. That means before I open my mouth. You know, and if you remember that, when you get ready to ask him, you know, remember when God, at the end, when God asked Job, you know, where were you when I hung on the sun and the moon, the stars and the trees, and, you know, like you think you can't go through nothing? Where were you? Who are you? And God kept asking him, did you count the number of hairs on your head? You weren't there when I created the heavens and the earth. And over God was telling him, I'm the only one that's without sin. So where were you when all this happened? Can you even count the number of hairs on your head? Can you take your life and bring it back up again? He asked Job all these questions. Job said, you know what? I'm going to hold my tongue unless I open my mouth and speak out and sin against God. Yeah. Nothing worse, I can say nothing. Lord, you know. Remember Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel is death. And he said, Lord, you know. Hello? Sometimes we need to be quiet. Hold, give you out the girl, you to do this. Put your hand on your hold on together. So some of us can't stop talking. We talk too much. We talk ourselves right out of the blessing. Hello? And you don't think you can have it? Man, those old... Hello? They do. But they shout. Whatever we need to do. It's funny, but whatever we need to do to hold on to our blessings, we need to practice that. We used to do stuff like the element of Minister Mary that she stood on her Bible. You think that's funny? It's cute. But we did stuff like that. Whatever it took, read the word and then stand on it. The preacher said, stand on your word, you stand on it. Literally. That's your step. You put it on the floor, pick up your shoes, and you say, Lord, I'm standing on your word. and then go ahead on about your business. So you're afraid and everything, and you get up and you go and say, this is what death is, what things you do to yourself to make you be in remembrance of what the Lord is saying. And whatever you have to do to bring yourself back to remembrance or strengthen your faith or to get you to trust God, do it. Hello? So you got to do like Job and hold your lips holy. So like most people, I was worried if I didn't say just the right thing, if I mentioned every possible problem that came through, or if I didn't pray just the right attitude, that God wouldn't hear my prayers. And you know, and that way back in the beginning, I just kind of prayed like other people. You know, just other people pray. He said, my goodness, can he pray? My goodness, she prayed. Ooh, heaven must be really opening up to them. So now you want to try to pray like them, and that ain't even your heart. God wants your heart. If your heart is not to make a bunch of noise and rattle and shake the fist, then don't do it. Just talk to me. If you're one that just goes straight to the point, talk to God. However you handle it. Minister Mary, I still might be using her. She's so quiet in her worship, but y'all know she can see it. You know that when she says something, God is moving. So when she go off in tongues, and it's not like some of us burst out in there, you know, the whole heaven's shaking, we speak it up. But hers is so gentle, and God speaks a prophetic word through her and ministers through her. Everybody got a different way they do things. So Yolanda may not say a word. She's over there quietly worshiping God. And then when she come out with a thank you, Jesus, move out of the way. Because she's about to break loose now. Hello? There is a different way we worship. My baby's over here. They fall on the floor and bend down and roll over and they cry. But that's what they do. But you've got to give God everything. Everything that concerns you concerns him. Amen? So we don't have to worry about, well, how I got to pray like Miss Sally or like Bishop or like Pastor. I'm going to talk my heart to God. That's what he wants. I'm going to speak my heart. Yeah, I'm going to speak what's going on inside of me. Get to yourself and talk your heart to God and just thank him and move away. Let him take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. So when I realized that prayer is the essential thing for my connection with God or for my worship to God, I found out that I have to pray just like my Daniel prayed 3 times a day and maybe more. That I have to pray continuously. The Bible says men ought to always pray and not faint. Amen? In other words, don't stop praying. Now I'm not saying now if you work and you can't be looking up to the Lord. You gotta work. I mean he's wisdom. But in the morning time, get up early enough, prepare your prayer time, get up early enough to pray. In the middle of the day before you go eat your lunch, before your lunch, pray. When you come home, let that be your prayer time before you go to bed. Whatever your time is, whenever there's free time, you may not do it like clockwork at the same time every day. You may not get that opportunity to do so. But whenever the time arrives, make sure that you dedicate some time, set aside some time to spend time with God. And I promise you, I guarantee you, if you study the Word of God and study now, don't try to read fast. Or some people like to try to read through the Bible. That's not important. It's that you understand what you're reading, right? And when you read, just get, even if you take one chapter of one book and just read it over and over until you really get some understanding. Ask God to help you with your understanding. And just begin to leap off of the page at you and get some clear understanding. Think about it. Talk about it. Get your help. Go online and Google that chapter. Then research these people and their time and wonder why was the writer saying this and why did they dress like that? And are they talking to me or are they talking? Who's talking? Who are they talking to? And then call me and Bishop on the phone and say, you know what, or Elder Mary, I'm Miss Mary, I have a question, blah, blah, blah. But get some understanding in the Word. Don't rush through the Bible. Apply it to your life. Hello? You want peace? It's in the Word. You don't find it no other way. I'm like y'all, I tried it. It don't work. Turmoil. You might be having a good time right now, but the consequences behind that good time will be devastating for you. Hello? The only peace is in the Word of God. And I have to find that out the hard way. Amen? When I realized what I was doing, I just simply gave it all to the Lord. I just prayed and prayed, prayed and prayed, prayed and prayed. And not telling you, praise was my name. That they used to call me Praise, Miss Praise, who's Praise? That was my name. And still do. Y'all call me Apostle Praise. That's what I do. Because it gets me to the level I need to be. It elevates my mind. Get me off of my problems. Get me off of the situation. When I'm talking to God about you all, I'm praising. I have to praise him first. So that when I lay my eyes out and you start showing me visions and showing me things, I'm ready. I'm prepared. You just can't just walk up into the presence of God. You have to prepare yourself. When I had a priest did before they went into the tabernacle, they offered sacrifice. That's just an outline. You prepare yourself. Repent. Lay out before God. Praise him. Get your mindset right. Then walk into the presence of God. Hello? That's why he says to pray. He means for us to tell him what's burdening us. Hello? It doesn't work, we say. I've been praying, and nothing has changed. Nothing has happened. Still going through the same situation. That's what we say when we feel that we washed up. God ain't healing me. Then we start to worry. Then fear comes. And after fear comes, despair. And all you want to do is crawl under something and just hide. You know, just back. Then you leave the church and go back out there and pick up more demons than you had from the beginning. And now, like the Bible says, you're worse off than you were the first time around because you picked up double trouble. Hello? So what you have to do is that you got to keep praying and keep giving them praise. Believe in your heart that you put the word up there to God. You already spoke to God. Believe. Let your inner man trust God. Don't care what it looks like around you. Don't care what people say. Don't care, you know, how this was when I went through it and when this happened to me. And this, don't even listen to that stuff. Walk away from it. If they're not talking something that's going to hook you up to God and strengthen you, walk away from it. You ain't got to hear that garbage. Don't let people, you know what? I tell people to guard your heart. Guard your heart. The only way to protect the anointing that God put on your life is to guard your heart. Don't let people plant all kind of bad seeds into you. When they start saying things negative and pulling, trying to pull you away from God and from the house of God, they're planting bad seeds in you, and they're going to bring up bad fruit. They want you, misery loves company. They want you back out there with them. I always say, you got to get a mind of your own. Our young people especially, boy, they'll follow every wind and doctrine. Here comes Susie, you know, Sally, and now half my neighborhood is gay, so I'm gay too. Don't even halfway know what it means. Hello? Yeah. But it's just something to do because everybody else is doing it. And Tommy and all of them, they got their pants hanging down, so I'm going to hang mine down. Saturday, I'm wearing them skirts up to here and cutting here and showing everything, so I'm going to do it too. A man already knows you're a woman. You don't have to show him everything. Who you think going to marry you revealing yourself to everybody? No man won't get what his exposed to the whole world. Hello? When he look at you, he's not thinking about taking you to the altar. He's not thinking about taking you somewhere else, and you don't like what he thinks. Hello? So you have to understand that there are things when Paul says we press, these are the things that we deal with in our press. They're going to come to you. Cupid pie, he's going to come. Fine mama, she's going to come. But you need to learn to press your way past that nonsense. Hello? Because if Cupid's not mean you any good, he'll wait on you. He'll follow you to the house of God. Hello, and give that, and let God be his first choice. And then watch out now, because he'll come in just to get you out of here. Hello, wake up. He'll come sit up in the church on the front row and then clap his hand louder than yours and shout louder than you. And as soon as he got you hooked up, both of y'all out of the church. So you got to watch out for Cupid pie too, even though he come in with a suit on, a three-piece suit on. Be careful. Sally and Sue the same way. They're coming to get you out. The devil has sent them in here to pull you out of the bosom of God. And he's going to use, then he's going to pull out all the stops. He's going to use every trick in the book. You're so beautiful. Who don't have a mirror in their house? Raise your hand. Come on. Let me see. You need a man to tell you you're beautiful. You so handsome. You ain't got no mirror in your house. You need a woman to tell you you're handsome. That ain't no cut. But these days, I say, oh, you so pretty. Yeah. Okay. And now you're going to start taking off clothes and stuff. It's not the same first. How? They already practiced that. Ask these men in there. They don't practice what they don't do when they come to the studio. Because they got a whole club out there. And they said, okay, this works, man. Try this on it. This works because the last few, you know, they like for you to do this. And, oh, yeah, they got y'all. Press your way toward the mark. Press your way past handsome, cutie, fine, boxing, fat. Press your way. Say, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And, buddy, you ain't on it. Hello? You got to get worried about your own soul because the devil don't like you. You know he's trying to kill you? He done set you up. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy you, and that's his desire. But even in the midst of what I'm going through, in the midst of our bad situation, the only way we're going to find peace is in God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, here's where we cut off. It's 8:30. 45 after. Here's where we cut off. I know, my girl. You're so short, Pat. We only 1 hour. That's why we have to come in early. We have to be here at 7 o'clock so we can cut off on time.